This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.
Is the weekly, semi-weekly, semi-occasional web podcast with Rick and Adam. We talk about everything technology related, and you can find us at Help Me Rick on Twitter, at Talking Digital on Twitter for Adam.
Oh, that's cool.
The website's at helpmerick.com. Adam's website's talkingdigital.com. Amazing that we've got all those things coordinated after all these years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice.
It is
two
very
easy
cool
things. Talking Digital, Help Me Rick. If you
yes
can't remember those two things, unfortunately, you might want to just turn a podcast off and just go on and maybe play solitaire.
Yeah, we're not going to throw a bunch of phone numbers out there for you. If you get to either one of those places, you'll find everything else that we do and that you need to know about us.
Right.
Very
That's
cool
all you got to do. All right. Well, we did a show last night. So Adam and I saw each other just less than, I guess, a little more than 12 hours ago. And hopefully we'll have plenty
you
to
know,
talk
the,
about
the,
this morning.
The Castellini on Computers / Help Me Rick / Talking Digital Empire is growing so quickly that I've had to sit and think, okay, now how much of this and how do we want to choreograph it and what kind of approach do we want to take so that each channel has a purpose? Do you agree or do you think it should just all be the same thing? I don't care.
I would say if the growth actually occurs, then we can talk about it. I would rather...
Okay.
I'm just thinking that as the way it is now,
yeah,
we're floating along pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
If we start getting multiple avenues of revenue stream,
yep,
then we can...
I think one thing I think that will be different is...
While the revenue stream is zero, I think we won't worry about it.
Since we're not making a dollar off of this, and not, or even a penny or less, a farthing or a stone or whatever, the... But yeah, I think as I've been thinking about how to put this all together, I do think one thing we'll do is our radio show that we record, I think we're going to keep that as a strictly Help Me Rick enterprise.
You mentioned you're not going to pull that back over to Talking
Digital. Well, and one of the reasons is I think it should drive people to Help Me Rick,
okay,
and it does have a little bit more of a local approach.
It does. It is more.
And it still is.
Particularly since the antenna only reaches within
about
a mile.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great show and everything, but I think there should be reasons for people to, you know, flow in that direction. And the Talking Digital produced stuff stay there. And then I still have that posted on Help Me Rick, you know, several days before it even gets posted to the Talking Digital stream. But for those of you out there who are curious about what we're talking about, visit helpmerick.com or talkingdigital.org, and you'll see. It's just, I'm getting to the point now where I'm actually recording, last week I recorded, I think, 5 podcasts, and we add the radio show into that, which is already produced. I hate to put a lag to how soon it gets posted and stuff like that when we already have it right there as soon as the show ends.
Right,
so,
right.
So I think that should go right up on Help Me Rick and get that going, and then this show I can take some time to edit it and produce it. Did you hear our beginning from last week?
I have not.
Those of you who have not listened to last week's episode of helpmerick.com,
is it pretty good?
The beginning is kind of goofy. I probably went
overboard.
That's good
though.
I
like beginning.
I probably went overboard at the beginning, but you know, remember it took us about 6 starts to get the show going.
Uh-huh.
Because we kept having to say start over.
Uh-huh.
You'll see, I played around with that a little bit. And we kept them all in there.
Well, I thought for last night's show that we did on the local radio station,
yeah,
I'm going to title it something in there about listen to Rick and Adam hang up on a listener.
Yeah, that's right. We did that.
We did it. So you have to listen to it to figure out how that all went down.
Yeah, we're not always as nice as people think.
But
then,
we are.
Then we feel bad. So,
all right.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, I think what we'll do is we get going here. I was going to just drop by the news. I didn't know if there'd be much news between last night and this morning.
Yeah.
And
well, I didn't have a computer in front of me last night either. And
oh, that's
now
right.
I do. So we might find some news in here that we didn't have.
Well,
yesterday.
There's one news story on the tech page. It got a hold of me right away. It says giant storks may have fed on real life hobbits.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a giant fossil that was been found on the island of Flores in Indonesia The extinct giant stork Leptopolyphilus.
Uh-huh, of course.
Robustus.
So it was a Greek stork, it sounds
would
like.
Would have dwarfed the hobbit Homo floresiensis, living on the Indonesian island of Flores. And they think that the bird preyed on those ancient people of the island of Flores.
Do you want a...
thing. No, I was sputtering this on my... I might need that.
Yeah, I know.
That's interesting. They got a cool graphic of it there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, there's an actual giant stork standing next to a short caveman-like man. But that's cool. That's a great cool headline,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but I thought, you know, as we're getting started here, maybe we'll answer a few questions.
Sure.
We're actually making it through the inbox pretty well.
iTunes is introducing 90-second song previews.
I heard that.
Just so you know.
I think that's been in the works.
So
right?
Now they're, you know, right up there with
Amazon.
With Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always try to stay up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
All right.
At least two years after the Joneses do it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to... I'm going to go today instead of going...
That's good.
Does it taste good today?
That's good. That is good Mexican hot chocolate.
Good deal.
I'm probably going to say that every time I drink it because it's so good.
Oh,
but
good.
Go ahead.
Good. I'm going to go just from oldest to newest today.
Okay,
I'm not going to fool around with, although there's some very nice women's names on here today.
Oh, wow.
But I'm just going to go straight from the bottom up. And the oldest one today is from Robert in Missouri, who says he's paid for AVG and he needs a new copy. I always have to assume a lot of things and extrapolate a lot of information that he has purchased the key for AVG and now doesn't know how to get the actual copy of the software.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that's what he is telling us. So based on that assumption, go back to avg.com, download, look at your email that on the purchase you made. And figure out which one you bought. Did you buy the AVG antivirus? Did you buy the AVG internet security? They have two or three different products, maybe more than that. Find out which product you bought in your email. Go to the website and download the corresponding product. Chances are in your email that there should be a link that says, if you've not downloaded your product, click here.
Now, what about a code? Do they do a code?
And it should be in his email.
Okay.
Yeah, because if he bought it, he's got to put the code in.
And that may be the difference. He may be running the program and just may not have ever entered that code, and he might still be using that trial version that continues to nag him.
That could be. It could be another assumption. And if so, he should be able to go back to AVG and say and ask them via his email address to resend his code.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. All right, now this next one, again, I'm going from oldest to newest. This one's from Mumbai, from Suman. I need to insert a new button into the toolbar in Outlook Express 6. From there, I want to set a hyperlink to attach my files. This feature is available in Outlook, but I need the same feature in Outlook Express. Is there a possible way to do that? If possible, please confirm via email. And when I get an email like that, I know this really is from Mumbai. Suman Chennai.
Wow.
I deeply seeking your help. Thank you, sir.
Well, we're gonna give you a deep answer.
Well, I think that, unfortunately, you're dealing with two completely different programs. Even though they're both from Microsoft, what's happening?
Yeah.
Are you playing some music?
No, go ahead. I just was watching a video that goes along with a news story. It's a Kinect tech, but go ahead.
Okay, cool. The Outlook Express is a very basic version of an email program, so it doesn't have all the features and flexibility and customizability that you have in Microsoft Outlook. So what you're going to probably end up doing is not find what you want to do. I think what he's wanting to do is get the little link icon that lets you put in a website link in his email. And unfortunately, they don't have that in Outlook as a button. Now, you can, however, if you are using rich text formatting for your composition. So what you do is in Outlook Express, you go to Tools, Options, and then under Compose. And if you always tell it you want rich text or HTML as your editor, as you're editing for photos or for email, then you will get a little chain link on your toolbar next to the font size and bold and italic and all that kind of stuff that will let you click on it, t- type in your address or paste in your website address and it'll make the link for you.
Right.
But again, with any email program, if you just copy and paste a link into the body of the message,
yeah.
when you send it, it automatically becomes a clickable link. So you don't have to go through that extra step of adding it via the little link.
Yeah.
So again, based on the information we have, I think that's the answer.
That sounds terrific.
I think I am going to write back to this guy. I'm going to save that one in the box.
Good deal.
Okay, now you're distracting me over there. What,
well, I'm sorry
what the
to
heck
be distracting
is,
you.
No, that's okay. It's very interesting. What are you looking at?
The there? Kinect is one of the greatest things ever invented. I don't know if you know that. The
up
Xbox Kinect.
Okay. Better than sliced bread?
Better than what? Yeah. Slide. Yeah, well, it depends on what you're talking about. Multigrain versus white and all of that. But really the...
Wonder.
The Kinect, and I don't... You know, most people won't have any
use for
it. You
don't have one yet, do you?
No, and I don't really plan on getting one.
You don't think you'll add it to your 360?
No.
Because you have a 360.
Yeah, I have a 360.
Yeah.
And I have a Wii, too. And I just don't need any more video games.
Okay.
And that's it. I don't have any use
for
it.
But the Kinect is much more than a video game.
Well, that's the thing. Is the Kinect is exciting, not because
Rachel,
of what it is.
It's much more than a video game.
Yeah. That's right. it would be a workout system and an exercise. No, the
and a kinesiology study.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is the Wii is cool?
Okay, let's back up.
Oh,
what
sorry,
is
not the Wii?
What is the Kinect?
The Kinect is a camera-like attachment that you put on your Xbox video game system that watches your actual body movements and mimics those movements. For the character. So the slogan for the Kinect is your body is the controller. And that's how it works. You don't have a controller in your hand while you play. You run in place. You hold your hand out to shoot and all that other stuff.
You can't cheat on it like you can the Wii.
Yeah, you can't cheat on the Wii. The Wii, I hate to give this away for people who've purchased the Wii and haven't realized this, but you can save yourself from having to burn all those calories boxing and stuff like that. And you can actually just shake the remotes and the remotes think that you're
really
you're
fast.
Yeah. They think you're really fast or moving or whatever, but the Kinect actually watches your entire body.
Uh-huh.
And it does it by projecting millions. I don't know if it's millions, thousands
could
at
be.
Least, but it could be millions of little dots all over that you can't see. So it's using
infrared.
I think it's infrared. It has to be. You can't see them, but they're there. Little dots all over, and then it monitors those dots for your movement. So it works kind of like the blue screen stuff that you see in movies where they paint dots all over a person.
Mm-hmm.
Only this creates the dots, and they're invisible.
Now, this guy's doing Minority Report stuff.
Yeah, so this is what's kind of cool is people are starting to hack the Kinect and find new uses for it. And we have a guy who's turned it into a 3D camera. He's set up two of them now so that they shoot from different angles.
Ah.
And then it creates an actual 3D video of the person. So when he walks around, it's you'll have to see it. It's not 3D like 3D glasses, but it's a 3D effect. And then there's another guy who's created a lightsaber simulator, so you can take you can take a broom handle and wave it around, and it looks like you have an actual lightsaber on the video. And then this guy has figured out a way to rig it up to make it so that it works like the movie Minority Report. So in other words, he can hold his hands up in the air
and move
pictures around and enlarge them and scroll through documents and all that stuff. So,
now, is he using the media player connection with Microsoft and the actual software? I wonder if that is a hack.
Most of these are a hack. They actually use the Kinect device, but then they hook it up to a Linux computer or some other computer and make it work. And that's what I think is exciting about the Kinect. It's not the device itself. It's the technology that Microsoft has put out there that is going to lead to so many things. And when you see what the Kinect does with all these hacks, and now there's dozens of them out there.
Just Kinect. If you search for that on YouTube. You're going to see lots of different things.
It's worth looking into. And if you're a hacker and tinkerer, you already know about it, I'm sure. But I think it'll give you an idea. I really think that this technology will be key to things like cars that drive themselves. I think I've mentioned that on a previous show. But cars that drive themselves or even your Roomba vacuum and stuff like that. Somebody's already hacked a Roomba with a Kinect. That's the little vacuum that drives itself. But, you know, I think it's going to lead the way to, autonomous devices. Not big, maybe big things, but definitely I think it'll bring small robotics and things like that into the home where we thought that would never happen. this provides a very feasible technology and very inexpensive technology to make that happen without having to have a lot of thinking involved.
Right.
Because all it's doing is watching little dots. So
well, and,
it's very
and
cool.
Kind of tying in with the robotics and the increase in all this, which truly is, I would consider this kind of the beginnings, the true beginnings of what's the term for, it's in that darn book I'm reading now,
yeah.
The Dormouse.
Yeah.
About there was that the dual people. People were looking at enhancing our capabilities.
Augmenting
our capabilities.
Is that the word? Oh,
but
okay.
Then the other people were trying to do artificial intelligence,
oh, yeah,
AI.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of leading into that. And last night on my way home from our show, I was listening to the radio, and there's two high school juniors.
Oh, I heard that too.
Did
on NPR?
Yes.
Yeah.
That won a $100,000 science fair.
Yeah.
From Siemens, I think. Or
Siemens.
Somebody.
Yeah, it was a Siemens. It's a very famous science competition.
Yeah. Yeah, and they came up with an algorithm that could get a computer based on people talking to start to recognize emotion, whether the person was angry or happy. That was very interesting.
Right.
And
it's something scientists have been trying to do for a long time, and these kids apparently made some breakthrough with it.
Right.
That led to $100,000. Whoa.
For two just juniors, high school
two
juniors.
High school juniors won $100,000, and the best part about it is these kids are already scientists.
Did you They're notice the name of the school, though?
No, I didn't hear that.
It was a private school.
Oh, well, yeah.
Does that surprise you?
Well, you know.
We won't say any more than that.
You know, I don't think it's because the kids are any smarter. I think it's that the private school cares more about the success of the kids and allows them the freedom to do these sorts of things.
It was the freedom.
Yeah.
It was the ability to be able to think outside the box.
You know, this kind of fits. In fact, it does fit. Maybe I should talk about this on one of our local shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I got this letter from the, what you would call, we would have called the shop teacher.
Okay.
At West Middle School.
Uh-huh.
Now
they're called technology.
West Middle School in Grand Junction, Colorado. Yeah, it's technology. And he doesn't do a single woodworking thing.
Nothing he does is work.
And I'm cool with that because he teaches these kids gear ratios, has them build electric cars, has them do these. And you know what? He's an amazing teacher. And this is what I was kind of getting at. You know, he's an incredible teacher because basically he gives the kids the kit and the thing, and he teaches them about electronics and then says, get it done. He says, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, so don't come up and say, I can't figure out how to do this.
He wants him to do it.
Say, I don't understand, and I will teach you the principles.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not going to show you how to get this done. And he does that with everything, all the way up until this advanced eighth grade class where they build amplifiers and electric guitars.
Oh, cool.
The project only costs $150 per guitar, and he's been paying for it out of his pocket the last few years.
Oh, wow. For each student?
Yeah. Because it's like $5,600.
Wow.
And this year he's kind of appealing to the parents and trying to find some other funding. But the thing is I looked into the school budgets and stuff, and we've got, you know, $10,000 going to cheerleading and all, you know, all these things. And not to mention the new, I don't know if you saw the new replacement to the standardized tests that they're looking at. They're down.
I haven't seen.
They're going to make it so that you can't advance grade levels unless you pass the standardized tests, that your standardized tests are going to be on your school
transcript,
you know, all sorts of stuff. And they're going to do it every year from pre-K. Not even from kindergarten. So anyway, so
that's going to produce a lot of $100,000 semen winners.
It costs $14 to $19 million, something like that, to produce the standardized tests. And here's one teacher trying to find $5,000 for his high school to actually learn electronics and electricity and engineering and put these things together. Anyway, so I went down and talked to him for quite a while about the project, and he is one of those teachers that you just say, man, this.
He gets it.
This guy gets it.
Yeah.
I mean, he really understands it. So I guess I was adding to that to say, you know, I think the teachers are out there. I think the care for the student is out there. It's nothing against public
schools.
It's
the system.
It's the system itself. It's that there aren't enough, the right people are not in the right places and
well,
all
again,
of that.
I think it's one of those situations where we've gone down the road so far and been so laissez-faire about everything.
Yeah.
That you're stuck in the bureaucracy of it.
Yeah.
And you got to, at some point, you got to say it's not working and start over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not something you can fix.
And I hate the answer, well, we've got to do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate that.
Well, the something is you start over.
Yeah. That's right.
You scrap the system.
I think you could start with nothing.
That's right.
And see what happens.
That's right. You scrap the system.
Well, I don't know if it's possible.
You go back to the one room schoolhouse theory.
Yeah.
Where in, when you first started out in education, everyone did their thing that was appropriate for their community.
Mm-hmm.
And this standardized stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you know, people in LA, when a kid came in, about what we're learning in Colorado.
When a kid came into the classroom and he showed aptitude for farming and for mm-hmm. all this stuff, that kid usually left after third grade to go do the thing that he either had to do or was passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gone. I'm not saying we should let our third graders go.
You're promoting child labor.
Don't exaggerate that. But what I'm saying is that they went and they pursued the
child
thing
labor
that they
camps.
Yeah, there were the other kids who, yeah, there you go. the kids pursued the thing that they were best at. And their teachers said, you know, that you're not doing well in the classroom. Where do you want to be? What do you want to be doing?
Right.
And kids pursued those things. And we had a functioning society for a long, long, long time.
Well, you didn't have that whole ladder of chain of command trying to dictate what was happening at every corner. And then when you do those kinds of things, and it works in corporations, it worked when I was in healthcare,
mm-hmm.
when you have all those dictatorial, and I don't mean dictatorial in terms of a dictator, but I mean in terms of rules
right.
and regulations.
The written standard operating procedures.
That's
of,
right.
Yeah.
The people that are functioning in the real world all figure out how to get around those.
Right.
And how to massage those
right.
to make it look like you're doing them, but they're not really happening, but you're wasting time.
And administration like plays along with that. They're
yeah.
like, well, according to
this
paragraph
report,
7, that's... Mm-hmm. Something that you can do. And we get that even from the school district stuff we work with. People say, well, you can't submit it as this, but you can submit it as this. And it's exactly the same thing. And they're just working through the bureaucracy of approving something. And anyway.
Okay, we're getting off on our political
Oh, by the way, this is
again.
A technology show all about computers. And
in the last week, I made a comment.
Yes.
Towards the, I don't know if it was the end or the beginning of the show, that I was going to make a big announcement this week. And it was, I don't know how I worded it. But I told you I wasn't even going to tell Adam.
Yeah.
But Adam did see me last night because we did our show together.
Well,
sure
I read it on WikiLeaks.
Oh, you saw it on WikiLeaks?
Yeah, yeah.
Dadgummit, those guys are everywhere.
I know.
Everywhere. But I will preface this by saying I truly believe in the technology world there are no better industrial engineers and industrial designers
right.
than Apple.
Really?
Do you think, I mean, is that a fair thing to say? Is that
I think if there are better industrial engineers, I bet that they are building the small components that Apple says, we need it to do this.
Could be
you know
true.
What I mean? I mean,
right.
it's like the unseen
subcontractors.
It's the unseen right. subcontractors that make this stuff happen.
Well, and that's
yeah.
a good point because there's an awful lot of that
right.
in their devices.
Yeah.
Well, after a lot of almost 10 or 12 weeks since they've been released, I've been doing a lot of studying on laptops and what I need for my business and for the way I use computers. And I've been studying since the release of the new MacBook Air,
mm-hmm.
Which was in early October or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, so I forget. Yeah, that's right.
But Adam and I were on the air when they released him, and Adam said he's going to get one.
Yeah.
And I was looking at him, man, that's very compelling.
Yeah.
But I kept looking at him. I've been to a couple of Apple stores and tried them out. Been reading the blogs, been reading the forums. And so finally last week I said, yeah, this is... I think it fits what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It does more than what the netbook did for me.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little more functionality, but it has even more portability than the netbook.
Right.
So I purchased last week the 11-inch MacBook Air.
Are you going to dual boot this with Linux like you have every
I'm
other
not.
Netbook? Oh,
I'm
good
not.
Man. Good
I,
man.
This one I'm going to leave, I think. I haven't decided. I haven't decided if I'm going to put Windows on it.
Yeah.
Just for my presentations.
Yeah, I can understand that,
but
too.
But I did do my user group yesterday. I went to the user group just with this computer.
Really?
And because I was using the... You haven't been to where we do our meetings, and they've put in a new projector.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
A ceiling-mounted projector, and
good.
Then they have a Toshiba laptop.
Oh, it's already
permanently
there.
Attached.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, it's not permanently attached, but
right.
it's attached to it.
You don't
and
have
I couldn't
to bring
get
in your
the
own.
Darn Toshiba to start up.
Oh.
So in a panic, I just... hook this guy up. I did buy the little dongle for the VGA
yeah,
DVI port.
Yeah.
And I did my presentation off of this.
Cool.
And it worked out really well.
Very
so
cool.
So the only thing is for me when I do classes, since 99% of the people that attend my classes are using Windows.
Right.
Then for me to demonstrate Windows stuff is hard to do this. Although I may do something like a virtual machine or something like that.
Yeah.
That I might, instead of dual boot, I might do a virtual machine or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Windows 98 virtual machine.
Well, here's why I'm not going to dual boot Linux either is, again, the Apple system. The thing I like about Linux is I can leave it in the box. I could leave it in my bag sometimes for a week or 2 weeks at a time. When I turned it on, it doesn't download 90,000 updates that are required. And I don't have to update my antivirus and all that kind of stuff. And it was a quicker boot than the Windows. This little guy here, this MacBook Air, from the time I push the power button until I'm at the desktop is less than 18 seconds.
Wow.
And it varies between 14 and 17 seconds.
Wow.
And that's just, I've only done it five or six times where I've timed it.
Yeah.
But it's that fast. And when I turn it off, it's instant off.
Very cool.
Now, the other cool thing is I did my research on these guys and talking about industrial design. The reason I decided to go with the MacBook Air is the keyboard is awesome. The Mac's always had good keyboards.
Well, and it's full size. When they say full size, it's a netbook class, I would say, with the, as far as size. But it has a full-size keyboard. Even the netbooks that say full-size keyboard aren't full-size keyboard. This is an actual full-size keyboard, but it is a larger netbook, too.
Right. It's 11-inch. I got the 11-inch. They have an 11-inch.
It's 11-inch with a pretty big bezel around the screen,
too. It
does. So
an inch big.
I would put it in the same category as maybe the 12.1-inch netbooks, really. It's a larger screen or larger
but
size.
It's less. I mean, it's less than 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
Very light. In fact, in the bag, I don't know. It's amazing how much lighter it's made my bag than my old Toshiba.
Yeah.
But the thing I was going to talk about was it has solid-state drive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very efficient, very fast. But they have a special hybrid sleep on these things. I don't know if you read about this yet. But if you put it into sleep mode, it can stay in sleep mode for up to 30 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it goes instantly into sleep mode, and it comes instantly out of sleep
mode. And that's because it's built on flash memory instead of operational, you know, a working part. What do I want to say? Standard hard drive, you know, with moving parts. It works similar to the way a flash drive would work.
Right.
To where, you know, whatever you're working on, it just freezes in time and stops. It's not using much electricity, if any, while it's turned off. The reason it lasts 30 days is because that's how long the battery lasts.
Well, and the other thing, I thought it's a little pricey, but you're getting what you just talked about was a lot of industrial engineering internally.
Right.
And that's a very good point. You have to have the designers at Apple came up with the idea, but there obviously are probably dozens of different smaller companies that actually can put the information together and say, yeah, we can do that. I know one of the technologies we read about when they first released it was for the solid state drive, instead of stack the memory, they put the memory out sideways.
And soldered it to the motherboard that there's no, you don't have to worry about contacts and stuff like that. It's in there. The other thing too is that when you look at the x-rays of it, it's not just one battery. They don't give you a removable battery. But the reason they don't is because they need to spread those batteries out, and it's actually four internal batteries on the inside.
Which take up a lot of the room of the internals, and that's what's and that's what I can't wait until we see. And you keep hearing every now and again about fuel cells and things like that, but until they make some really good progress with batteries, that's always going to be the weak link in building smaller
and
devices.
I think that we're just on the verge of that. I really think we're within 2 years of a battery that
that can power things.
Especially for small devices like this that will run months. Yeah.
Would you carry a little laptop or a phone that had a miniature nuclear reactor in it? So they would power it for the life of the thing? You'd never have to charge it?
Yeah, I would.
I would too.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a nice, unbreakable container that thing's in. And now the thing I worry about is who's going to take it apart and figure out how the nuclear reactor works. We're going to have the guys at whatever that website is, the guys who take everything apart the first day it comes out. I can't think of what their names are.
I can't either.
I'll think of it. But
well, the other reason I decided on this one too, Adam, is as I started thinking about the price and the price versus the price versus benefit. And there is no other laptop on the market that's a full aluminum body.
Right.
And that makes it a tough little device. Every other laptop on the market has plastic casing.
Right.
You got a plastic, keyboard top. You got a plastic lid to your monitor. And I said, you know what? For what I use it for, it's in a bag. I carry it in and out of my car all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I want instant access to the internet when I need it, without having to wait 3 minutes for it to boot up and then look at updates and those kinds of things. It fit the bill.
Yeah.
And so far, it's worked out real well.
Yeah, and it's powerful enough that you can edit YouTube videos.
Absolutely.
You could edit
I did it this
music.
Weekend.
Yeah. You could do all that stuff on the small thing. Yep. I don't think you could do that. I mean, you can't do that with a netbook running Windows 7. Mm-hmm. It would never happen.
And those two words should not be in the same sentence.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But, you know, this is a net. Like I said, it's hard because it's a netbook class as far as the size and the weight.
But it's a full dual core processor.
Not according to the computer power. Right. Yeah.
4 gigs RAM, the whole thing.
Is it? It's a Core 2 Duo?
Yes.
Is that what it is? It's an actual Core 2 Duo processor.
It's an actual Core 2 Duo.
Yeah, so you can't find that in netbooks. No. I mean, that's
incredible. Not for the $300.
Right.
Now, there are, I think Samsung makes a 12-inch, like you were talking about, quote-unquote netbook with a dual-core Athlon processor.
Right.
But then they're asking $600.
Yeah.
And it's a plastic. And
you can go to any store and buy a dual-core Pentium, full-size computer that runs, it'll do everything you need it to do with 4 gigs of RAM for $350. So
we talked about Twitter earlier, and I said that Adam's at Talking Digital. I'm at Help Me Rick. During the weekend of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, my brother's monitor went out on his old HP laptop.
Right.
And he's got probably, it's probably 6-7 years old. I mean, he's been bleeding that thing a lot further than it should have been. But he's been trying to wait and hold out because he's got a business and he's trying to make things through.
Sure.
Well, he decided he needed to get a new one. He wasn't going to try to repair the monitor. So we were kind of waiting for Black Friday. We were watching all the sales up to Black Friday. And there was nothing really great on Black Friday. There was a couple little things for very cheap.
Yep.
But for what he needed, I wanted to get him something with 4 gigs of RAM.
Sure.
There was nothing out there. Cyber Monday came along. I take that back. On Saturday, we were looking because Friday was nothing good, Thursday and Friday.
Right.
And then I decided to look again. I went on to the various sites and I ended up going to Best Buy's site on the web. And I found kind of deeper in the site, doing some different sorting, that they had a 4 gigabyte dual core processor laptop, 15-inch. He wanted a 15-inch laptop.
Right.
$379.
Oh, yeah.
With a 320 hard drive, had a webcam, had everything he wanted for $379.
Yeah.
There was nothing close to that during Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
So he was very excited.
It's
so
very
cool.
I think it was a
Gateway, which is Acer nowadays.
It's fine. Yeah.
But, so you got to look around, find the sales. And Adam, you and I were talking last night about Best Buy giving out the $125
gift card
with some of the Apples.
Right.
I think all the Apples at the time.
It was, I forget which ones. I think it was, I actually think it was certain models of the Apples, but it was the 11-inch, $1,199 iMac.
Okay.
A MacBook Pro, and I think it was the 21.5-inch iMac and things like that. But good devices. They weren't doing it with their $999.
And for the first time this year, Apple put a few of their devices on sale online.
You know what? They do that every year, though.
Do they do it every year?
The only sale that Apple ever has is the Black Friday sale. They lower the prices. If it's a $2,000 device, they lower it about $50, $100. They're ridiculous. I mean, you get a better discount by being a student or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. But it was, they did do that this year. So
that's kind of interesting. But anyway, so that's I'm excited to be, this is my first Apple I've ever owned.
Yeah.
Both my children have Apples, but I've never owned one myself.
My biggest Apple tip is MacBook Air, whatever you want to call this, those are still fairly new and I don't know if they're out there yet, but if you're buying an iMac or a standard netbook or something like that, boy, I'll tell you, you will save a whole lot of money, at least the cost of buying AppleCare. Did you get AppleCare with yours?
I did not.
You still didn't. We'll see how that works. cover at least the cost of AppleCare and all of that by going with a refurbished system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recommend refurbished for Dell. I don't recommend refurbished for anything, even electric pianos or anything. I don't recommend. But with Apple, the warranty is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any, there's no danger there. You get a cheaper device and it's guaranteed, has exactly the same warranty.
Are you kind of holding out maybe for a refurb on one?
Yeah, I'll probably hold out for a refurb on that. And I've been watching the returns at Best Buy and things like that for them. And it's a possibility, but right now I just have to, I'm focused
more on
school.
The only thing I will say on the 11-inch model, and probably because of size.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not because of size.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think it's because Bill Gates wanted to put some, I'm not Bill Gates, Steve Jobs wanted to put something in the next
different
model.
Different than the 13.
Yeah.
Well, is the SD card.
Yeah.
Because they have it on the 13.
Yep.
But they don't have it on the 11.
Right.
And that's not a huge deal breaker for me because I can just throw in a USB cable if I want to download photos. But
right.
But that's the only thing. To me, an SD card is, and they didn't put it on their MacBook Pros for a couple of years.
No,
and
I know.
Now they finally did, yeah. And now it's in the iMacs as well.
Right.
But to me, an SD card is pretty much a standard. It's kind of like the floppy was in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
You had to have a floppy because at the time, that's what mm-hmm. everybody used.
Yep.
And so I think the SD card is kind of the floppy of the new computers.
I think so, too. Yeah, that 36 gig floppy. Yeah. 32 gig floppy that
that's
you have.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, I think there's a few things that Steve Jobs left off of there on purpose just so that he'd have something to put in the next
time.
And I think we're going to see new generations of the MacBook Air now a lot sooner than we did in the past, because the last edition of the MacBook Air was over 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it wasn't a great product.
No, it
wasn't nearly as groundbreaking as this
way
one.
Too expensive. Yeah. I think the price was really the killer. It did all
and
a lot of the
same. And it didn't have
stuff.
A great processor.
No.
Didn't have a lot of RAM, as I remember.
I don't remember. I remember the low-end model was still $1,699 right. or something
and
like that.
They didn't even sell it for a long time, did they? They only sold it for a short amount of time, and then it was not even on the market for a while.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
It's. I don't remember the whole... I don't know the whole history of it, but I do know that it's...
Only your hardcore
It's never
Mac
really
people
been that
it.
Much in demand.
Yeah.
Although it did fit in an envelope, a manila envelope.
That was their big...
That was their big selling thing. Is it? And now, so will yours, and with room to spare.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Very so sure. I think it's a good device now. I think they've done a great job revamping it and making it an actual computer. And I know if I pick up another laptop, that's probably the one I'll get.
Yeah, it's. I love the portability of it. Adam and I think share one thing we share about technology is we like portability.
Yep.
And we like utility.
Yeah.
And this really offers, I think, a lot of both.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Cool.
All right, so we do a few more emails.
Yeah, sure, let's do it.
I'll let you try to dig up some more other news if there is out there. This one is from Kathy in Helena, Montana. When she tries to send an email, a message comes up that a dialog box is open and that I have to close it before I can send the email. How can I do this? This is a very good question. This happens to a lot of folks where they get a message saying that there's another window open, but they're not sure how to get to the other window. And this is what you use either one of two things for, the taskbar or Alt-Tab on your keyboard. And the taskbar is the long bar at the bottom of your screen, usually at the bottom of your screen, right next to your Start button, shows you what windows are open. And you'll find that the dialog box it's referring to is probably open or is probably accessible through one of those buttons on your taskbar. So try that, or hold down the Alt key on your keyboard and then push Tab and kind of keep holding Alt and Tab, and you're going to be able to toggle through the open windows on your system. You'll also find the dialog box that way. And I have a tip on how to use the taskbar and how to use Alt Tab at helpmerick.com, so you can check that out.
Okay.
And let's do one more. This one's from Omar in Canada. Have you ever used Zen OK Free Antivirus 2011? And I hadn't. And this is interesting. I think some guy's trying to get me to write about it or something, because there was actually another message on or a comment. I'm kind of.
I know. You know, that's what I'm...
Are you watching me?
I'm noticing that you are not used to the glossy screen or something.
I just don't like it.
He just keeps
screen.
rubbing the screen and polishing it.
Way.
And I keep microfiber cloths everywhere on my desk. I have tons of them specifically for that. So.
Well, Zen OK, there was a guy that left a comment on the help on the website at helpmerick.com and kind of was talking about that. And so I went and looked at Zen OK. And if you go to zenok.com, you'll find a free antivirus. And on the surface, it looks, you know, probably okay.
Okay.
No pun intended. But then I did another search in forums for Zen OK, and it turns out that it's a very flaky company. It's not spyware, apparently.
Right.
But it is very ineffective. And apparently they do start throwing up some advertisements getting you to try to buy their pay product.
Sure.
So, Omar, I don't know if you're from Zen OK and have the same attachment to the gentleman who left a comment on Help Me Rick, but I would say I've not used it, but I would not use it based on my study.
We're more than happy to recommend a new product if it does something better than the current product that we recommend. Right now, I think we're generally recommending the Microsoft Security Suite or Microsoft Security Essentials.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's
right.
That's I can't see any reason not to recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one too, that's decent is Avast Antivirus.
Right.
So either one of those we recommend, they're free. If you want us to recommend something else, it's real easy. You just make a better product
right.
that runs faster and does a great job.
Does what it's advertised to
do. Does something better. And that's it. I mean, that's really all it takes. But because we have very little loyalty and have over the past 10 years to anything, we're just as quick to drop our recommendations as well. Once the product screws their system up, AVG is starting to do that now. Norton has done it in the past. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's important to point out that
we are
not
loyal,
brand loyalists.
Well, we're loyal as long as they do the things you mentioned.
Absolutely.
As
yeah.
long as they don't get in the way of what you really want to do, they do what they're advertised and they do it efficiently.
Yeah.
And that's not too much.
And then
to
we
ask.
Brag about your product and give you all kinds of free advertising. And
yeah. Boy, I think we single-handedly brought AVG into the valley. I really believe
I think
we did.
So. We're probably single-handedly killing it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're. And, you know, again, and if you have a really super fast machine and you don't want to run Microsoft Security Essentials, you can still run AVG, but I just think that there's other products that work better.
You know,
currently.
I think
it changes. Things change.
Microsoft Security Essentials catches more of the malware, not necessarily viruses, but more malware than AVG.
And that's
the
big thing these days.
Yeah.
Viruses are less of a problem than malware is.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think the Security Essentials does a decent job at that.
Yeah.
It was one of the things we were talking about there that just kind of reminded me of another tangent, but I forgot what it was, so I'll come back to it.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
One more quick email from the email list here. This is from Chris in the UK. How do I insert a photo into my main body of my email rather than attaching it in Outlook, the full version of Outlook? Because Chris wants to know how to do that. Do you know how to do that, Adam?
You know. Say that one more time.
Just wants to put a picture in the body of his email.
Oh, don't do
in
it.
In Outlook.
Our answer is don't do it.
Well, you can do it, though, okay. by going to insert and picture.
You can, but don't do that.
Well, it's you. If you're not resizing photos, Adam's getting into some things that if you don't resize your photo and make sure you're putting an appropriately
right.
sized photo.
And if the person reading your email doesn't have their email set to read
HTML
email, there's a lot of hangups there. Right. But yeah, it is insert picture from file.
And that's all you
find the picture. And
but
then
make
insert.
Sure you resize the photo before you insert it.
Yes.
And so that means you got to go into Photoshop
right.
or use picture. Oh, speaking of picture resizer, I did find, I don't know if you saw the site about a month ago.
No.
I found a guy who copied the old Microsoft Windows XP picture resizer and made a tool that works in Vista and Windows 7.
Cool. Like the Power Toy?
Yeah.
Like he made his own? Oh,
he
wow.
He made his
cool.
own and it works exactly the same. You right-click on
man.
A photo or a group of photos.
Bless him.
Yes. It's a very cool. And it works just like the old one.
Oh, that's
very
great.
Very small install. You right-click and resize.
That's wonderful. Because I found lots of Web 2.0 websites that do that.
Right.
But then
it's
hard.
It's not as quick and slick.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. So it works really good. Okay. I saw this email. This is the next one in the box from Lisa in Grand Junction. Should I install AVG and then put on the Avast?
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
You have to read the instructions, Lisa. I have very explicit instructions on what to do on helpmerick.com with Avast. You do not want more than one antivirus running on your system at a time, so you're going to remove AVG and then put on the Avast. And then she says, is Firefox 3.6.12 something I need to upgrade?
Yes.
Yeah, any of the upgrades come along from Firefox, do them. I
yes.
like how Chrome updates, because they don't even tell you.
Oh, I love it.
Chrome just happens
like, hey.
Automatically.
They don't even really tell you, hey, we've updated.
No.
Yeah.
It just
no,
happens.
I really like that. I really like that.
All right. Sorry. Okay. What else we got?
Well, Zuck is going to give away half his cash.
Oh, he's joining the group of...
the group of super rich people.
Yeah, Bill Gates and a gentleman from Nebraska.
Yeah, he's going to give away half his cash. Uh-huh. The quote that they use in this article I'm reading...
When he dies or...
No, this is quick. Soon.
Soon?
Soon. You know,
he gave
this
a lot to New Jersey School.
This is... Oh, I know. Yeah, he's
ton.
Right behind the... waiting for Superman
right.
folks. So,
right.
No, this is, you know, this is all over the web. I hate to give one source for it because the site I'm reading is actually just a rewritten story that probably comes from the original story someplace else. But the quote that it says, people wait until their career to get, wait until late in their career to give back, but why wait when there is so much to be done? Said Zuckerberg, who in September donated $100 million to bail out the public school system in New Jersey. Anyway, so yeah, it's soon. He's not going to wait. He's got $47 billion, and he's pledged to give away over 99% of his wealth to charitable causes. I have a feeling, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Normally I would have said that he was doing it now because he didn't know what the penalties would be for doing it under the tax situation with Obama, but I don't know what the reason is.
I bet
for
his money's all in Switzerland.
Oh, it's got to be something.
A lot of it.
Yeah, good for him. But anyway.
Don't get me started on that. You're trying to bait me. don't be baiting me.
But it is cool.
Don't be baiting me, man.
It is cool. And I think there's a lot more to Zuckerberg than what people think. And we know there's a lot more to him than what was portrayed in the Facebook movie. But I think it's really cool.
Yeah, that's very, I think.
The thing I think is cool about Zuck is he still rents basically the same house that he started renting when he started Facebook. He lives there with his girlfriend, and they rent this house. Right. I mean, this little, and it's not even a big house.
Very modest.
It's in a regular old neighborhood. That's fantastic.
Okay, you baited me enough. Here's another little political rant that I have.
Okay, go for it.
And Adam knows that I have some left-leaning tendencies and I have some right-leaning tendencies.
Right, as do I.
But I am very much pro common sense.
Right.
If somebody says, what party do you belong to? I try to belong to the party of common sense.
Right.
And I also try to belong to the party of, I hate people I hate the, not people, but the ideas of pitting people against each other.
Right.
And right now, the last few weeks, we just had a huge, huge media blitz of, and political blitz of attacking the rich, the super, the rich, the taxes for the rich, this, that.
Yeah.
And people who say that trickle down doesn't work. Now tell me that, you know, this is a single instance here, but that you're reporting today.
Yeah.
But this is not a single instance.
No.
You know, if you look at charities across the world, when people give to charities, you know, it's not people like Adam and I who don't have money to give to charities, but we still do.
Yeah.
But they get a lot of money from, who is it? The super rich.
Yeah,
absolutely. And who, the people that are, in my opinion, 95% of the people, I always throw out that number, and I know it's not scientifically proven, but most of the people that are super rich got there because they're super industrious.
Right.
And if you're super industrious, that means you've created something that has made the world a better place.
Yeah.
You've created something that gives a lot of people a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, again, we look at Steve Jobs, and you talked about that at the top of the show about industrial engineering. In order to make this little computer I'm using right here, there are literally thousands and thousands of people that have their hands in this, as well as hundreds of companies that are created specifically to make these parts.
Well, that was my point, and that's my point, is you don't have, as it relates to technology and everything, you don't have Steve Jobs, super rich guy with his screwdriver putting together a laptop.
Right.
You have to say, okay,
and then sucking all the money into his own pocket.
Yeah, this laptop is made of aluminum, a single piece of aluminum. In order to create that single piece of aluminum that it's cut out of, you know, that Johnny Ives tells us all about, in order to do that, you have to have people who go through and, you know, who makes the plastic? Who's putting together the keys? Who's doing?
And you say, well, that's machine to cut it out.
Designed it all. That's
yeah.
And then you say, well, you know, even if you say, well, that's China. Well, who made the tools that China is using to do all of this? Who's building the factory machines? Who's doing? You know, it all comes down to individual people with very, very small businesses.
Maybe you and I should do a political podcast.
We could
together,
but it does. It comes down to very. If you take a car, well, here's a car. Well, who made the dashboard components and who made the little needles that move and who made
the Lee Iacocca by himself.
Gear shift handle? No, exactly. But
it just really bothers me when people try to titrate things down to, oh, it's the rich.
The super rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, the super rich. Well, guess what? Those rich people are actually paying money, paying wages, all the way down the road 3,000 steps into this system.
And don't let anybody tell you different. You gotta think about these things.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it just irritates me.
The main reason people aren't investing in more businesses.
Right. And then again, we'll look at again, technology across the board, you can see the way this happens. You look at the Google guys, you look at Microsoft, and again, going back to Google, one of the tenets of their company, when you work for Google,
right,
they automatically give you 8 hours out of every week. That's one day a week.
Right.
They don't require it, but they encourage it.
Yeah.
That you can use 8 paid hours a week.
They allow it. Yeah.
They allow it to work on your own project.
Right.
And they don't care what the project is.
Yeah.
But usually 95% of the time, I always throw out 90, I'm going to throw out 89.5% of the time.
Yeah.
The employees are doing things like, I know one of the big things they talked about a few years ago that I can just remember off the top of my head was there was a group of like 4 or 5 women employees in Google that would compile their work, their 8 hours of days, and they would stretch it out into like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they would take it all at one time, and they would go down to Costa Rica or Nicaragua or somewhere and go into some real small, ancient-type villages where they didn't have internet and they didn't have a lot of technology. And they would pick up this real pretty jewelry and things that these people made, that these indigenous people made, and then bring it back and sell it.
Yeah.
And then bring the money back to the village and set up educational huts. And then they brought in satellite internet so that they could learn and do things. And so it's kind of neat.
Yeah. And it stems from Google.
Again, that's my own party of common sense.
I hear you.
Anyway. What else we got? Anything else technology wise? We've been going about an hour.
I think that's good. I think we're
good.
I think we're at a good stopping point.
Well, let me do 2 more emails.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Okay, we have Iadita from Kumar. It's again, I don't ever know if these are real, but this one says, "What antivirus is best for my computer?" Good question, because I have that on helpmerick.com when I started recommending Avast. What I have on there is my current recommendation. Is if you're using an older Windows XP, and so I just kind of blanketly say, if you're using Windows XP, use Avast, A-V-A-S-T. If you're using Vista or Windows 7, use the Microsoft Security Essentials. If you are using Linux or Macintosh, you don't need anything.
Yep.
Okay? Oh, now here, boy, here's another antivirus. Listen to this one, Adam. This is from Jane in Carbondale. Thanks for answering the question on the podcast. I had installed both Avast and Microsoft Security Essentials. I took off the Security Essentials, and this may be the answer to the last question. When I shut down the computer at night, a few times it doesn't shut down. It just says Windows is shutting down but never finishes. Hopefully taking off one of those will do it. Otherwise, please call me to set up a time when I can go through my computer.
Okay.
All right. Well, and I haven't heard from that person.
Now you know.
So it sounds like we answered her question on the podcast. Cool.
Sounds good.
All right, so I'll leave the rest of these for other times. I don't see any other big time.
Me neither. You know, every time you leave the show, almost immediately something huge happens in the news.
Darn
some
it.
Massive. So, you know, we've stretched it out as long as we possibly can, and we are going to just have to end the show and move on. But we come back every single week.
Okay, we'll be back next week. Now, I will be gone the following week. I'll be in Tucson.
Cool.
The 23rd, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. What's today? Today's the 10th? Today's 9th? Today's the 9th.
Today is.
So next week's the 16th. We'll do it next week.
Okay.
We're doing some on-air scheduling here.
Yes.
I'll be gone on the 23rd.
Well, that's cool. The next week will be our Christmas gift show. We'll go through gadgets and things like we always do. Also, we'll give advice on how to protect your computer from family members.
Okay.
Well, all right. I'm just going through our usual pre-holiday show.
Sure.
So, our gift guide, suggestions to protect your computer from family members. And there's one other thing that we talk about every holiday. I forget what it is. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we do the third one?
There is. Well, I was trying to think. There was another one there that was related to the gadgets and stuff
and
like
holidays.
That. But.
Well, we'll think about
how to find a deal. Maybe that was it. Shopping for bargains.
Okay.
How to use things like ShopZilla and things like that to find the best deal. So
cool. All right. Well,
that's it.
Thanks for listening, and tune in the next time we have a podcast.
So long.